Acts 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Richard. Wonder how you're all feeling this morning. Any aches and pains from the last couple of weeks, anyone? We're all looking a bit sort of worn out. I just wonder if David King's sermon from 2 weeks ago left you with cramp. Or Tony's sermon from last week, whether it left you short of breath or something. Well, if you haven't been around for the last couple of weeks, you will wonder, what is he going on about this time? But if you have been around, you'll know that we've now reached the halfway stage of our sort of New Year fitness program, where we're checking out whether our body is in good shape. Whether, as God's family here in St. Patrick's, as the body of Christ here at St. Patrick's, whether we know our role and responsibilities as the body of Christ, and whether we're identifying and responding to the opportunities that gives us, whether using our sort of overall series theme for the sermon series, whether we are fit for service as a body of Christ. Now, I'm glad that David chose fit for service, because he could have chosen fit for purpose, which would have been quite traumatic for me, because you might know that I'm an employee of the Immigration Department in the Home Office, and back in 2006, the Home Secretary famously or infamously said that the Immigration Department was not fit for service. In fact, he said it was dysfunctional. He was a very motivational man, he was. And I remember at the time that there were a lot of failures, but to me, the main thing was that the leaders, the senior people, you know, they all had their own individual agendas. They all had their sort of driven by their own selfish career plans. And so no one had a common goal, even though they said they might. They didn't have a common goal. Things work best when all the components of something work together. And that's the same for us as a church, as the body of Christ, the family here at St. Patrick's. That if we have a common purpose, if we have a common characteristics, and a common understanding of what those two look like in practice, then if we can get all those things, we'll serve God, we'll serve each other, and we'll serve the wider world more effectively. Now, you may remember in the first week, if you weren't sort of trying to get around the cramp, that David reminded us that our purpose as the body of Christ is to be a spirit, a Holy Spirit-inspired community aimed at proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and encouraging each other to do that and to know that. And then last week, Tony explained that a body that was fit for service will demonstrate the principal characteristic of love, a love that combines our head and our heart, a love that acts, a love that seeks no reward, a love that is costly. And today we move on to think about one area where we can see how those first two things look in practice, how a church fit for service expresses that as it shares, as it is a sharing church. How, with the confidence of knowing the risen and ascended Lord Jesus, and out of our thanks and our praise for who he is and what he's done for us on the cross, that characteristic of love flows out of each of us to all of us as we are a sharing church. And that was demonstrated by the community of early Christians that Richard read to us from Acts 4. Now, just in case you're here and you're not familiar with the book of Acts, It's written by Luke, who also wrote the third book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. And Acts tells of these amazing events. After Jesus has ascended, has been raised from the dead and gone to heaven, ascended to heaven, tells of these amazing acts of the early Christians who were empowered by God's Holy Spirit to do and say just amazing things in the name of Jesus. And our passage starts in verse 32. If you've got the Bibles there, it's on page 1096. It'd be good if you just sort of... if you've got them handy, so you can see that when I read out from the Bible and I'm actually saying what's in there. And verse 32 says that all the believers were one in heart and mind. They had a common purpose. They had common characteristics and a common understanding of what that looked like in practice. So we're going to look at this passage in three sections. I haven't got three snappy headings today, but I have got three sort of sections heads. And they're going to be, how did they do it? It's the first one. What did it look like for them? And what might it look like for us? So those are the three headings if you want to look out for them. So how did they do it? How were they able to be, in verse 32, one in heart and mind? Well, in a sense, we've already sort of talked about that. We've touched on that already. They were proclaiming Jesus as Lord together, and they were expressing love in practical ways amongst each other. But verse 33 takes us a bit further, a bit deeper in explaining the how they did it. And what we find is that they were enabled by God's Spirit and by God's grace. That's God's grace, God's great kindness in giving us things that we don't deserve. The apostles had stepped out boldly in their proclamation that Jesus was Lord. And they were particularly bold in saying that Jesus was Lord over death. They were emphasizing that he had been raised from the dead, that he was resurrected. And that was a particular irritation to some of the religious leaders at the time, called the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they had great authority in the temple, for instance. And so they were felt really under threat by these Christians. They wanted to close the Christians down, if I could put it that way. But it seems that God, in a generous and a gracious response to their boldness, he gave the apostles more power. In fact, it says in verse 33 that he gave them great power to continue to bear witness, to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. And then in a further sign of God's grace and his faithfulness to his believing family, his children, verse 33 also says that all the believers were blessed with God's grace. And much grace was upon them all, it says in verse 33. Great power and much grace. It must have been an awesome time for those early Christians. It just reminds us that God always gives us what we need. He gives us a task to do. He asks us to do something, but then he always equips us to do it. And he must have known that those early Christians needed great power and much grace as they set out on those amazing first steps of building our worldwide church, which we're part of here today. Now, the much grace was obvious to see in one respect, how they shared and cared and loved for each other. I'm going to come on to that in the second section in a minute. But it was also the foundation of God's grace sustaining them, equipping them with his power. That just reminds us again that it's always about God. It's always about Jesus. It's always in the power and the grace of the Lord that we do anything. And it's a great reminder for us to take care that we don't claim any glory for ourselves when we achieve things in God's grace and power. So these early Christians, they were equipped to be of one heart and mind, to share everything by the great power of God and through much grace of God, by their commitment and their boldness to witness for Jesus, and their willingness to praise God through their practical loving actions. So secondly, what did it look like for them? What did it involve? And just as importantly, what didn't it involve? Well, what it meant was a radical attitude to their possessions. And that attitude is explained in verse 32. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And in a similar short passage in Acts 2, this sharing is expressed as they had everything in common. Now, that doesn't mean that they all had to go and sell their houses and their land. That's not what happened. If you read on in the book of Acts, you can see that they still own property. They were meeting in those houses. They were worshipping in those houses. But it was all about the particular owner's attitude towards their possessions. Having an attitude where each thought of their possessions as being available to help others and when the need arose. As I said earlier, that attitude flowed out of the grace that God had blessed them with, and also out of their own outpouring of love, that characteristic of love as they shared with each other. So they probably shared homes sometimes. They probably shared food. They shared money and so on. And the better off provided generously for those who had less. So that, as it says in verse 34, there were no needy persons among them. And then verse 34 and 35 tell us that there were occasions when greater sacrifice was required, where the desire to ensure that they had all that they needed, all the people had all that they needed, so that they weren't distracted from the main job of proclaiming Jesus as Lord and encouraging each other to remember and live that out. It says in verse 34 and 35, from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. So when the normal sharing of possessions wasn't meeting the need, when a cash injection was required, if you like, put it that way, those in the position to do so actually made further sacrifices in selling what they had so that there was cash available for everybody. And verse 36 gives us that one example, particular example of Barnabas. His nickname was Barnabas, the son of encouragement. One of my favourite Bible characters, actually. Just how he sold some land in order to raise cash. Now, if we read on in Acts, and particularly, for instance, just in the beginning of the next chapter, we see that sometimes things went a bit awry. Sometimes people's hearts weren't quite in the right place. But they made mistakes when they dealt with that. But to emphasise, verse 32, all the believers were in one heart and mind. And that was demonstrated two ways: a radical attitude to their possessions, and then, when necessary, sacrificial action as well. So let's come on to the third section. What does this look like for us today within what we think are the complexities of the 21st century? Well, the starting place for us is exactly the same as it was for the rest of them. Of those early Christians. Now, I mean, if you look around the people here today, we are a right bunch of people, aren't we? You look around, and I'm sure, especially as I'm looking at David here, I'm sure that he likes rugby and I like football. You wouldn't mix with a lot of us in here, would you, if Jesus hadn't brought us together? Look, everyone's frightened to move their heads. Isn't that funny? In fact, there'll be people that you would probably avoid. Now, you can stop looking at me for a minute. Go turn away, right? So if we're going to be a fit sharing body, able to share what we have with each other, meeting the needs of each other in our church family, so that we too are not distracted from the main task of proclaiming Jesus as Lord, telling others about Jesus, living it out, then we need, what do we need? We need God's grace and we need God's power. And if you're anything like me, as I look at you lot down there, I'm only joking, you need great power. And you need much grace. I am only joking. But we do need God's grace and power to live amongst each other, because we're all very different and we wouldn't be together if it wasn't for Jesus. And that also means, like those early Christians, it's another subject really for another day, but we also need to be a praying body, praying for God's Holy Spirit in us to equip us to do all these things that we're talking about. And critically, just going back to what we said earlier, we should always, individually and as a body, keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, remembering that he's in control. He is the Lord of everything. If you come into the evening lifetime sessions, we're looking at Colossians, we're just being reminded that he is the king of the universe. He is in charge of everything. And that, you know, whatever we do, we know that we've got his grace and his power within us. So those core foundations for us are the same as they were for those early Christians. So that brings us on to our attitude to what we possess today. How generous are we with what we have to meet the needs of others in our church family, in the body of Christ here at St. Patrick's? Now, I've got to be careful not to sort of overgeneralise. And funny enough, David and I were talking about this before, but, you know, we seem to be in a world, a worldview, a culture where the natural thing is is selfishness. The natural thing is to take for yourself, to hold on to what you've got and try and get more. Of course, there are exceptions, but that seems to be the general thing. And, you know, I was really struck and quite sad, really, towards the end of the last year when I wasn't sad because of the Home Office making a bad payoff. But what I'm about to say is that the Home Office made a payoff to their staff, which wasn't very good, actually, but I won't go into that. As the negotiations for the pay offer developed with the unions, the department sort of responded to the priorities that the unions had raised. And what they did, they changed the offer to give a bigger pay rise, comparatively speaking, to the lower paid staff. And what I found, what struck me really, was that when they voted, the members of the unions who represented those earning a lot more, they voted against it. And I just thought that was quite interesting. It was just like, you know, that's the sort of thing we, just one example of maybe what we live amongst at the moment, tainted by sort of general selfishness. But having said that, since I've been here in St. Patrick's since 96, 97, you know, I think we've been pretty good at being generous. I've been here when we've raised cash for urgent and critical needs, that sort of thing. You know, and that's a great blessing to all of us over that time. I think, though, as we look at this series about how fit we are for service, thinking about sharing body today, that we also need to review the day-to-day stuff as well, our routine stuff, because each of us has a whole host of things in our possession which could potentially be used to meet the needs of someone else in our church family. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go and sell your house or your car today and then give the cash to Janice Hawkins, our treasurer, although Janice might, you know, might welcome that, and we could spend it for St. Patrick's. You know, so if you're thinking about doing it, carry on doing it, don't stop. But what I'm saying is you don't need to do that. But, you know, could you use your house? Maybe you've got a second property that you've got access to. Could you use your car to meet a need of someone else in St. Patrick's? Maybe temporarily accommodating somebody. Maybe giving someone access, a chance for a holiday that they haven't had for a long while. Bringing someone to church or to a small group using your car where they couldn't otherwise come, maybe. Now, I know that many of you do that every week. And that is fantastic. And thank you for doing that. It's such a great blessing. And I think you know that that doesn't make any difference at all to your salvation. We don't have to do anything to earn our way because Jesus to salvation, because Jesus has done it all and won it all for us already. But those loving and caring and sharing things that we do as we serve each other, as Jesus said in Matthew 16, you know, they do have eternal rewards. Jesus said that when he returns, he will reward each person according to what he has done. So if you're doing that stuff, please carry on doing it. Thank you so much for doing it. It makes such a difference to serve your brothers and sisters here in St. Patrick's that way. But maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, this is the first time I've ever heard a sermon like this. It's the first opportunity I've had to think about what I've got, what the possessions that I have, and how I might be able to use them to help other members of the church family. So that, let's keep remembering this, so that we don't get distracted from the main thing, which is to proclaim Jesus as Lord. Perhaps when you get home, you can make a list of the possessions you have. Maybe you can just prayerfully ask God, how can I be more generous with the stuff that I've got? Now, it could be your house, it could be your car, it could be your money. But you know, it could be your time. It could be that just spending time with somebody else who's maybe on their own or is lonely at the moment, a bit of time could make such a difference, meet their need so that they can focus on Jesus. It could be your skills. Maybe there's someone here who's got no idea. They want to start using a computer and have got absolutely no idea. But someone here will have the ability to spend time and show that person how to use it, meet their need. I use my mobile phone. The mobile phone is brilliant as encouraging other people. And, you know, I do thank God for the mobile phone. You know, being able to text somebody and say, don't forget you're not on your own, you're having a tough day. You know, it's reminding them, have you read your Bible today? You wanted me to encourage you to do that. Those type of things, you know. Meeting the needs of people so that they are fixed on Jesus. Ailish and I, my wife Ailish and I, you know, we've found that our experiences, you know, we've been through some really hard times over our marriage life, and there are those experiences have been able to, what we've learned from them with God's power within us, we've now been able to help other people when they're struggling to meet a need for a particular time. The list goes on and on and on. And your list of possessions will be absolutely different to mine. And that's great, because every one of our needs in this place today are also different. So can I encourage you just to think about all the things that you have practically and as gifts and abilities, and think, am I using them generously? Can I help meet someone's need? And maybe you can start tonight. David mentioned the confirmation service tonight. Maybe that you've got a car, and maybe someone wants to come to the confirmation service tonight and they need a lift and they won't come otherwise. Maybe you could just think about that. Maybe you could just come and encourage the 14 people of our church who are being confirmed tonight. I remember when I was confirmed here in June 1998 by Bishop Henry Scriven, and it was such an encouragement for me and a similar number of 13, 14 people who were confirmed that night, when the church was packed to encourage us. So, you know, think if you can do that tonight. And if you've got something else on, think about, can you be generous with your time tonight and come and support them? So, how tight are you holding on to what God has so generously given you? Because it's always worth remembering that everything you have is from God and it's for God. He is so generous and good and gracious to us in giving us so much that he says you can hold on to. But he wants us to express our love for each other by thinking, how can we use what we've got more generously to meet the needs of those in our family, so that we're not distracted by proclaiming Jesus as Lord and worshipping him? Consider carefully if you can loosen your grip, and consider whether you are surrendering it all to Jesus, to seek his will in serving him and his body here, as you do that, using your resources generously. And maybe I should just say that if if you're a person that suddenly you think sometimes, oh, I wish I had that, I wish I could have done that, and you're in need in some way, we need to be open and honest with each other, and we need to say that we need help. And the Bible is very clear. It says we shouldn't sort of sponge, we need to earn our way, we need to do things and that sort of thing. But there are times when we need things. And someone in St. Patrick's Church will be able to meet that need. So we need to make sure we've got a two-way communication going on. In the power of God and with the grace of God, those first Christians were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions as his own. And they shared everything they had, meeting the needs of others in their community. The body of Christ here at St. Patrick's needs you to help it to be fit for service as a sharing church. So how can you help? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a good and generous and gracious God who give us so much. The things that were, practical things, and the gifts and abilities that you've given us, the experiences that we've been through. Lord, help us to see all of those things. If it is to write them down on a piece of paper, please stir us to do that. To keep our ears and our eyes open to our family here at St. Patrick's. To be aware and proactive of others that might be in need. Not to leave it to David or the leaders of the church necessarily, but to look out and think, I know I could meet that need, or maybe somebody else could. Help us, Lord, to be proactive and generous with all that you have given us. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to do that, not because we want to pat ourselves on the back, but because we want to be a body here where, because our needs are met, we're able to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, so that we can proclaim Jesus as Lord, so that we can worship Jesus as our King and Saviour, and that we will be able to tell others about him through that and in our lives. Amen.